Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. We're diving into the running back position as we prepare for the trade deadline here. So as I did with the quarterback one, go check that. If you're listening to this, this is live. I literally just finished recording the quarterback one and posted it. Then I hit record on this one. So it is live right now. If you're listening to this, go check that out. I'm doing things a little bit differently this week. I tend to wait to the end of Monday night to push things. I'm pushing them as fast as I can. I tend to wait until I usually push stuff out sort of last thing I do basically of the day, which tends to be sort of late Monday night, right around the time Monday night football ends. And then Tuesday, like, it tends to be late-ish. There's not a specific time each night that I do that, but it tends to be later on Tuesday than it is on Monday, actually. I'm pushing stuff now, so if I record it midday, it's coming out. So just be on the lookout in your feed, you know, as much stuff as I can put out this week, because I think it's high leverage. Okay, so we have the big jumps. Okay, so the big jumps to me are guys that have basically moved from one to two in terms of, like, top 12 hits, you know, in terms of top 24s, in terms of, and then we'll look at some of the guys that have done, I would consider lesser jumps of, like, zero to one hit, those sorts of things. So your big, what I would consider like the big hit, the big deal hit right now is Jonathan Taylor. He's going to be 23. He'll have two top 12 seasonal finishes on his resume. He's currently running back one. He's fourth in carries per broken tackle. He's breaking tackles at an enormous rate. He's number one in terms of over expectation. And that is a ton of yardage. This isn't a touchdown maven. This isn't a someone that is just leeching off of touchdowns, right? That's expected for 3.9 and is scoring 14. Right? This isn't that. This is someone that's expected for 780 yards and is at 11.22. Just an enormous overperformance of expectation. I think when you look at this, you are in the context of running back one land. I think when you sort of look at some of his stuff, what I guess the question to me would become, if you're not going to take him one, who are you going to take? And I think the only other answer to that at this point is Christian McCaffrey. The problem with that I see is a couple of fold. Christian McCaffrey's basically two and a half, three years older. So that's not good. That's not what you want, right? You don't want to be giving away years. And McCaffrey's coming off injuries the past two seasons now and was basically insulated at running back one. Him and Barkley both were insulated up at that high elite level when in almost any other set of circumstances, they wouldn't be there because there wasn't a competitor there. Now we have Jonathan Taylor there. We're basically two full seasons now of McCaffrey being dinged up, of Barkley being dinged up. It's even longer. If we're not putting Jonathan Taylor at running back one, why? Would sort of be my thought. You're resetting the clock. That's sort of the thing. I guess the only difference that you could say, that the argument that you could make is, hey, listen, it is worth the difference in years, because in McCaffrey, I just use the football guy's age, by the way. That's just the age. Football guys list them the oldest that they basically play the season at as their age, which is what I use. I just think it's the easiest way to talk about it. So this is his age 25 season for McCaffrey, 22 for Taylor. When you're at this point, right, if it's a difference between a couple of points per game, the ultimate difference making ceiling between McCaffrey and Taylor, right? Taylor's at 24.2 right now. Could he go up? I mean, yeah, maybe. I mean, he's at basically a three reception a game pace, which is actually pretty good for him. You know, you sort of take that out, it's north of 50. Feeling pretty good about that. You know, could McCaffrey put down double that? Sure. Is McCaffrey going to be the rushing champion? I'm not sure that that's going to happen, right? So you do have a balance there. Taylor sets up really well for what they want to do as well. I think it's probably those two. And honestly, if you're going to give me the choice between a couple years younger and not injured versus injured and 3 years older, I mean, I think we're probably looking a gift horse in the mouth by putting anyone other than Taylor at one. That would be my thought. Now, if you want to arb that, how do you arb it? Right, that's the thing that I would be thinking about is like, what's the difference in cost between going from Taylor to McCaffrey? You know, is it better to do it now versus wait? Those are things that I think that you could think about. If you're going to get a first, you know, if it's a 2023 first difference, right? If someone's willing to give you McCaffrey in a 2023 first for Taylor, I'm taking the McCaffrey in the pick side. If it's a late playoff first next year, it's close enough where you might say, like, I'll let the other person take the risk on that and I'll take the first, and I think it's an even bet, right? That's certainly a way to play that. You're picking up another core, what I would define as a core asset, right? So it's one core asset and a superstar for a superstar, right? You sort of add those two things up and you take the side with multiple pieces on it. That's a different way to look at it too. I don't think I can put McCaffrey over Taylor right now. The other guy that takes a big jump up is Joe Mixon. He's running back 6. He's running back 8 in terms of points per game. He was running back 16 coming into the season in RDP. He's 26 years old. He has the 5th best PFF rushing score. He has the 4th most attempts, and he's 18th in carries per broken tackle. So he's basically in the middle of the position at that. I have some stats here that I'll share with you in a second about basically just being available, being basically one of the best skills this year, just outright being available. Mixon is excelling at that. Mixon is doing a very good job of just outright being available. I don't think he's much different in terms of who he's been. You look at his yards per route run, it's 1.1 yards per route run. That's not dissimilar from where he's been in his career. In fact, it's below where he's been in his career. His career yards per route run is 1.23. He's below that this year. This is his best year in terms of PFF rushing grade. In terms of yards per contact, yards after contact per attempt, it's his second best year. He's doing fine, and he's scoring more touchdowns. This is the most touchdowns he's ever scored in his career. That's certainly part of it. But some of the ancillary stuff, it's not. I don't think he's noticeably a different player. He's up a little bit in terms of some of the rushing efficiency stuff for sure. But as a receiver, it's not like he's actually worse than his career numbers would otherwise suggest in terms of yards per route run and some of the metrics we look at. He's a top 12 guy this year at 26 years old. What are we going to put him at? That's a question that'll become pretty consistent as I work through this exercise. Eckler, running back 16 coming into the season as well. They were right at the same ranking there. An RDP. He jumps from 1 to 2 top 12 seasonal finishes. He's going to be 27, and he's got no guarantees. So he needs to sign a contract extension basically to get himself some guarantees. I have him right now in the 1 year commitment range of the position contractually. He'll be committed next year. They'll pay him, but he needs to get paid. And this could be one of those, it's like the Xavien Howard situation where he's like, I don't want more money. I just want it guaranteed. That, again, like they signed an unbelievable deal for him. Like they should do right by him and just guarantee what money he has left. Maybe even tack on another year of like non-guaranteed money, whatever. Like make him right because he's earned every penny of it. And he took a discount. Like that's one of those ones like you pay him for what he is. All right, so we have a couple of guys that jumped into the their first top 12 season. We got Swift. He'll be 23 years old. Running back 6 in terms of expectation at 18.9 points per game. He is running back 7 in terms of actual points per game at 18.6. So he was down in terms of some of the expectation stuff earlier on in the season. It's still not entirely to expectation rushing wise, but he's trending in a better direction. I think at this point we're gonna go through this in a second. I'll read to you, you know, the basically between 5 and 20 of the position, and there's only so low you can put these guys like JT, Harris, and Swift. they like have to be up in the top five or six at the position just because there isn't a ton that you feel good about after that. So that's what I would do. Again, I think you're looking to give horse in the mouth. Again, do you want to pivot? That's the other thing that you could say. You know, do you want to pivot? You know, can you pivot from him to, Hockenson and tight end premium, something like that? That would be a thing that you could do. You know, can you pivot from Swift to Justin Jefferson, right? That's a thing that you could do. I don't know how you pivot down the position without getting a lot of other assets. We'll talk about that in a second. Same thing with Najee Harris. He's first in expected points. He's actually sixth in points per game. He's second in terms of expected receptions at 53.4. He's actually 49. So he's a little bit under what he should be expected to have done. It's a ton of volume. He's performing well. Again, I think you take this and then you can reassess in the offseason. This might be an early offseason thing where you can pivot. Can you pivot up? Can you pivot? You know, is there other ways to pivot? The problem with him is he's really insulated. So even if we get to a point in August next year where people are starting to dig into his inefficiencies, which we know are there, and he's going to go through a quarterback change most likely. So you sort of have those things. You might be a scheme change. I mean, how much more perfume can Matt Canada keep trying to put on poop before people still realize it's still running up the middle is just disguising it really, you know, contraptually in all these, you know, contraptions and motions and all this stuff. It's still poop, right? I don't know. I've never understood the Matt Canada fascination. He spends all this time drawing up plays and it's just run up the middle. Or it's a back shoulder fade in the end zone where they should be running it up the middle. It's just whatever. That's just my continuous curiosity with the fascination between Matt Canada. This is your monthly reminder that Matt Canada was the offensive coordinator that was fired before Joe Burrow broke out at LSU. So, for what that's worth. All right. Guy jumping from one hit to two hits. So, you have Swift. You have in that as well. You've got and you've got Taylor doing that. Connor is the other one that is that's jumping. 43.5 was his RDP coming into the year. League leader in touchdowns. Running back 8 on the season. I find him more interesting from the perspective of how many guys did we put ahead of him? And maybe they had different ranges of outcomes. But how many other guys did we put ahead of him that were, going back on it. And this, it's a little bit different because you have different longevities. But it's interesting when you look at guys like maybe Madison or maybe Dylan and you sort of put him in with Connor. Connor had a more ambiguous situation and maybe ultimately he's a lesser player than those guys are, maybe in just outright skill. But when you sort of get that situational ambiguity, he has a way to have multiple outs, which is to be this touchdown scoring guy that, again, that's well beyond what I think what we would have shot for in like a normal range of outcomes would have been, right? Him finishing up at as a league leader in touchdowns is more than I think we would have thought. When you look at you don't get that at a Madison. You don't get that out at a Madison probably. Now, does Madison have a long-term starter in his potential future? I mean, I guess. Right? On a second deal, as you know, if something happens to Dalvin Cook, all those things, right? Yes, probably he's younger, all those things for sure. I just think when you look at some of these profiles, we have to be careful about being too selective and being too picky and looking at the profile versus the actual situation at some of these costs. That could be a good example on Connor about, being open to the idea that, hey, he could actually have a role. And this, I think this was maybe a unique situation. We might always be looking for the Dearness Johnson type start situation. Maybe we won't find very many of these Connor situations, but I do think it's something that's opened my eyes to it. Don't necessarily be committed to talent as much as in that range of the position, what we're trying to do there. Situation does matter in the sense of ambiguity, not necessarily how great the situation is. I mean, not trying to predict that it's really, really good, but hey, this is ambiguous. And that gives me a 10% edge and picking these two one injury away guys, like there's outs that uncertainty contains outs that there might not, and a traditional full injury away guy like a Madison. So that'll be interesting. Again, I think maybe he's a potential that he could hang around in Arizona. You know, I don't know if he goes in as a starter someplace else, but he's probably on like the Mike Davis range of the position about potentially being a starter someplace else. We'll have to watch how that unfolds. Other guys that are jumping up in terms of hits right now, these are some borderline guys. Damian Harris, he is running back 23. His RDP was in the 30s coming into the season. Darrell Henderson, 26.5 is his RDP. He's at 13 in terms of running back scoring, so that's pretty good. Michael Carter is at 27 in terms of his RDP. He's at running back 20. Now he just suffered a high ankle sprain. As I was recording this, the news came in that he's going to be out a couple of weeks, so maybe look for an IR designation. Darrell Williams, he's at running back 21. I fully expect him to fall out of that. Najee Harris as well. We discussed him. All right, let's look at the running back position here. And I just, again, I loathe rankings. So if you're new to Analytics of Dynasty podcasts, if you're new to the Analytics of Dynasty, if you're new to listening to me, you haven't heard my sort of my takes on this, or if I haven't given it recently, rankings are very difficult because they ask you to do something linear in a very non-linear situation. Right? There's a lot of different things you were trying to accomplish. You and I can have the exact same opinion about a player and be in total lockstep about the facts about a player, can say, hey, this is exactly who the player is, and you can put him 10 spots higher than I can based on how we value them. It's really, really difficult to do that. And it doesn't, you know, there can be a huge, massive gap between 1 and 2, or a huge, massive gap between 21 and 22. And none of that is reflected because it's all on the next Excel sheet, or the next, you know, Excel box below, or it's in the next line, right? There isn't any sort of, and there's no, right, there's just no comparison engine, right? So I really struggle at these, but I do think when you look at some of these positional things and you take a step back and you think about how are we going to rank these guys? Like, how are we going to let's maybe not necessarily rank them, but sort of prioritize them, just general arcing priorities. I think you got Jonathan Taylor and McCaffrey at the top. I do think you probably have a slight tier break after that, just because Swift and Harris are performing under expectation a little bit. It gives me just a slight bit of pause. And so I'd probably throw a tier break there. If you wanted to make an argument for Swift or Harris over McCaffrey, I could entertain that idea. But for the purposes of this exercise, I've put them in different tiers. So I put JT at the top, McCaffrey at 2. Swift and Harris 3 and 4, thereabouts. And then I think when you look after that, you really have some questions, which is how do we feel about the guys coming there after? And that will include, that includes Kamara, that includes Barkley, that includes Dalvin Cook, Aaron Jones, Nick Chubb, Henry, Mixon, Elliott, Eckler, I think I mentioned, right? So you sort of get in that range, and how do you sort between that? Where do you feel good about that? I, the answer to that question is I don't. I guess if, like, gone to my head, I had to pick. I mean, what's the difference between Eckler and Kamara at this point? Right? I mean, we're not supposed to vault guys higher in the positional rankings than they were coming into this year when they get into their mid-20s. But at this point, Eckler has outperformed all of these guys. He's healthy, right? And, you know, it's not a ton of workload, right? He's very optimized and all that stuff. I mean, you can't really put – I don't think you can put him out of Barkley. But, again, it's been a while since Barkley has been that guy. It has been a while. And again, I am recording this pre-Monday night. So if he pulls a Jonathan Taylor or a Eckler from last night, I look like a total idiot, which I hope that that's what he does. But you do have this concern. And so I think one of the ways you could do it is to arb it right now, is to think about, you know, trading between this group right now. Is there the ability to do that? Can you get picks? I don't think you're going to get in a position where you're going to feel a ton of security in this range at any point in the offseason. I just don't. You know, Zeke probably the most would sort of be my thought. But again, he's a running back 1-2 type expectation at this point. He just hasn't produced to that running back top six type expectation at this point on a per game basis. You know, that's somewhere where the concern comes in. You know, and do these guys have, you know, Cook's underperformed. Eckler's overperformed. You know, Jones is marred in some type of timeshare with the quarterback change coming. Nick Chubb's really good. So that's, you know, he's in terms of skill might be at the top of these guys or pretty close to it. You've got Elliott again, timeshare stuff a little bit in terms of maybe not the ultimate ceiling in terms of expectation. You've got Mixon again. I'll get to that in a second in terms of some of his workload stuff. You got Henry returning off of an injury. Delvin Cook's underperformed. Barkley, we just haven't gotten a lot. And Kamara's basically become more of a running back than he has been that Eckler plus role that he was early in his career. Then you look past that, and let's look at a parallel track these guys. Again, maybe they fit in. Some of these guys fit in here. Some of them, you know, fit in below, right? I'm not necessarily putting them again, I'm not ranking these. I'm just using them as two different types of bets that we would make. So then, all right, we've got guys basically mid-20s who have been starters versus guys that are either rookie deals. Basically, all of these guys are rookie deals. Younger end of the position. You got Gibson, Javonte, Williams, Dobbins, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Jacobs, Etienne, Henderson, Akers, how that situation unfolds. James Robinson. You got Michael Carter. You've got Mitchell, Elijah Mitchell. And then on 1-year deals, you've got Sanders and Monty. And all of a sudden you're like, all right, well, how good do I feel in there? Gibson's tough to say that he hasn't disappointed so far. Javonte Williams is marred in a little bit of a running back by committee situation. Could he be a big riser in the offseason? I think he can be because he's going to get in a situation where Gordon's probably going to walk in free agency. So you have that situation. Dobbins hurt. Clyde Edwards hurt and probably underperformed expectation. Jacobs underperformed expectation. Probably you got Etienne's hurt. You know, what's the situation with Henderson? Doesn't even have a clear out in 2022. You know, we don't know what Akers is going to be, but if it's some form of a committee, that definitely hurts Henderson. Although I think Henderson's made life more difficult on Akers. You know, where's James Robinson fit at the position when Etienne hasn't played? We don't know what that's going to look like. Heck, we don't know who the head coach is going to be there, right? So we've got all of these issues. You know, Michael Carter's low pedigree. You know, is that offense a situation where they can actually improve by adding another back, right? Is that a situation where they could be in the market for a guy in free agency? You know, is that something that they could potentially be doing? I'm not sure. All that's to say, there's not a ton of certainty. There's not a ton of security. And when you sort of look at all of that, it's something that it gives me a lot of pause in sort of owning a lot of those guys. If I can't arb them down or arb them across positions, I think that's what I should be doing here more than almost anything else. So if you are in the trading market, especially if you're a non-contender, and if you want to trade, I think this is particularly useful in this range because you have a lot of different guys and a lot of different profiles, but they're largely the same amount of risks, which is mid-20s with a variety of different, you know, bumps and bruises along the way. Can you mortgage a little bit now for a similar bet longer term plus something, right? So, you know, a pick swap, a pick upgrade, a move up a tier at a different position, right? Going from Fant to Mark Andrews at tight end, right? Those sorts of deals, right? Going up at quarterback, right? It's going 3-for-2 where you basically give, you know, one of these guys for another guy, right? You also give another asset and you sort of make a jump up the position, right? You know, you include those types of things, right? That type of construct, right? So going from, you know, Aaron Rodgers and a healthy Nick Chubb and you throw on another useful wide receiver who's, you know, not any type of core asset, and you go up at the quarterback position, right? Maybe it's you're landing a, you know, if that's a Herbert, something like that, but you're sort of giving, you know, you're getting back someone that's injured, if that's an Aaron Jones, if that's someone that's out in this range. I mean, heck, it could even be Henry, right? You could, but you're making a jump, right? That's the point. Longer term, you're making a jump. That would be at a different position while sort of playing within this position. Those would be some of the things that I would look to do. One other thing I just want to point out, and I should totally do this for Analytics of Dynasty in 2022. Let's just go through the guys that are sort of so this is I included guys that were in the top 24 of RDP in the offseason that did not or have not yet missed a game this year. Okay, so there's 8 guys in that top 24. A third of them have not missed a game. So if you want to flip that around, 2/3 of the top 24 have missed at least a game. And at last check, it was a really high number. Had actually missed more than 4 games, basically. So the significant injury rate, if you remember this from some of the book stuff, it's actually at 9 right now. So that's 4 or more games missed on the season. I think it's actually consecutive. So I just have the total games missed in this range. I think most of these have been consecutive. But you've got 2 guys at 4 games missed, 3 guys at 5 games missed, 1 guy at 6 games missed, and then you've got 3 people missing 10 or more games, and that's Akers, Dobbins, and Etienne. Guys that have not missed a game. Top 24 of RDP. Jonathan Taylor, he's running back 1. Austin Eckler, he's running back 2. Najee Harris, he's running back 3. Sensing a theme. DeAndre Swift's running back 5. Derrick Henry's in front of him. Running back 6 is Joe Mixon. Running back 7 is Zeke. And then you go down a little bit. And this is an indictment, by the way. This is an absolute indictment. Antonio Gibson, 19. Okay, so the basically of the top 24 guys coming into this season that have not missed a game. So call this your core, your starters, essentially. I mean, it's not entirely that, but it is essentially that, right? The starters you feel good about. There's one other guy in this that doesn't fit that, but Antonio Gibson, compared to all the other guys are top 7 options at the position. He is running back 19. That is a disaster of a profile at this point. So I have a lot of concerns about that. I know he's battling through some injury stuff. The lack of receiving stuff is a big-time concern. He's definitely an arbitrage guy if someone will still buy that upside profile. I want to move off of that, you know, move up at a different position for sure. So there's a couple of other guys that sort of fit in this realm. Javonte Williams hasn't missed a game. Total timeshare. He's at running back 30. And then the other one I think that's interesting is James Conner is running back 8 at present, and he has not missed a game. So when you look at the guys that are in the top 8 at the position, all but one of them has played every game. So they haven't missed a game with injury. So when you look at this, sometimes, and just remember this in the offseason when you have people bragging about their takes and all this stuff, and I'll try to never remember to do this, just because, especially at running back, because I frankly don't believe it, and this is why. It's entirely about staying healthy. You know, when people are like, well, it's this efficiency or it's that efficiency, be like, you know what, at the end of the day, if they play 17 games, it doesn't matter. This is an academic exercise that only matters if they play 17 games, or if they play most of their games, right? Then we can worry about it. But with, you know, a chunk of these guys, 9 of these guys already missing 4 or more games this season, it's a big time number that frankly, it's you know, I think we spent a little bit too much time sort of picking nits in the off season. And not really talking about a lot of the injury risk and those sorts of things. So if you're a third, so basically if you're looking at this a third of the position has missed no games. More than a third has missed four or more games, and the rest of the position is between one and three. So that's definitely a major concern, and something that, as we look forward, that number is only going to get bigger, unfortunately, in terms of missed starts and missed games. So, yeah, I mean, that's certainly something there. And again, I think that's a good reminder of position, pivot off the position. Pivot to other positions, especially in some of your safe league stuff. You know, pivot to tight ends, pivot to some of your wide receivers, pivot up the board. Use these guys as pivot guys up the board at quarterback. I think that makes a lot of sense. And there's other ways to, you know, when you get into the Antonio Gibson, Josh Jacobs range of the position, like, you can figure it out. There is value in hanging on to those guys because you're eating innings, you're doing that sort of stuff. There's value in that for sure, but there's also value in getting elite assets. You know, Ozzie Guillen made, and I think he stole it from someone, but when he was the manager of the Chicago White Sox, he said, "I can't win the Kentucky Derby riding a jackass. I need some horses. I need some thoroughbreds." And this is absolutely 100% true in Dynasty. The more and more I do this, the more and more I see that, especially with all the different study that we're doing, the more elite assets that you get, the better chance you are at making a big time difference. And if you're sort of playing in the middles of the position, you'd rather be entirely, you know, stars and scrubs with four or five, six studs and a lot of replacement players surrounding them than not. And it's very similar to basketball in that way, because you can get away with recreating profiles like Antonio Gibson through Darrell Williams, through, you know, a variety of these, you know, a Ramondre Stevenson spot start, right? You can figure these things out, and, you know, that's stuff that you can do. I don't love to do that with all of my running back starts, but you can do that with them, and then, you know, pivoting up, you know, and thinking about pivoting up the board as well at other positions. So those would be the big things that I'd look for. Again, if I'm looking for potential buys, I think Fournette makes a lot of sense. I think Sanders is interesting from a depressed value, could go up in production sense too. Again, I think I don't want to get first for those guys, but like, if I needed to give multiple seconds to get Fournette done, I'd probably do it. I think that makes some sense. I think Miles Sanders has some upside here that we might not, you know, the market might not appreciate with them going extremely run heavy and Jordan Howard getting hurt. So that's one spot that I'll probably look at and explore a little bit here over the coming days. And yeah, that's pretty much your stuff. And maybe Zeke might be a little underrated. You know, can you get a first for Dylan? I'm not sure. I'm going to look and explore some of those things as well. All right, well, that'll do it for this a little bit more extended trade-centric strategic running back snap reactions. Until next time, and there is some specific movement stuff I'll cover in the waiver wire show. But until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.